In this video, we're going to talk about aesthetic values as objective from Chapter 12 of Leonard Peikoff's book, Objectivism, the Philosophy of Ayn Rand. Stay tuned. So let's start with a summary. We begin with a distinction between aesthetic and philosophic evaluation of art. Philosophic evaluation is looking at the metaphysical value judgments embodied in a work of art and saying, true or false? Is this right or is this wrong? With aesthetic evaluation, with judging art as art, the concern is how well did the artist convey his theme? How well did he convey the view of life that he or she was trying to convey? So this is how Ayn Rand puts it. In essence, an objective evaluation requires that one identify the artist's theme, the abstract meaning of his work, exclusively by identifying the evidence contained in the work and allowing no other outside considerations. Then evaluate the means by which he conveys it, i.e., taking his theme as a criterion, evaluate the purely aesthetic elements of the work, the technical mastery or lack of it, with which he projects or fails to project his view of life. Now, why does objectivism call that objective? Well, as we've seen in epistemology, ethics, and politics, objectivity essentially means, did you meet the requirements of a rational standard of value? A standard of value determined by a rational purpose. And so in epistemology, it's that your purpose is knowledge. In ethics, your purpose is life. And in art, your purpose is concretizing a view of life, concretizing a metaphysics. And so that's the standard of aesthetic merit. How well did you do that? Leonard puts it this way. The source of the principles must be the nature of art itself and its role in man's life. This is the expression in aesthetics of the method one follows in ethics. One is able to define a rational code of ethical principles only by first identifying what values are and why man needs them. So following Ayn Rand, Leonard is going to talk about three aesthetic principles, starting with selectivity in regard to the subject. Selectivity is what conveys the artist's metaphysical value judgments. And if you haven't done that, then you can't ask, well, how well did the artist convey them? Leonard notes that, you know, some ways of going wrong here. So one way is imitation, and that part of his view is that this is the root of most bad art, because an imitator is not guided by his sense of life, but by smashing together bits from other works and therefore add up to nothing. And so in terms of judging aesthetic value, you can't even get off the ground because there's no real theme. There's no view of life that the artist is even attempting to embody. The most extreme version of lack of selectivity in regards to the subject is dispensing with a subject, i.e. non-objective art. Ayn Rand's personal approach in this regard is the projection of an ideal, the ideal man. But the point here is not that you have to choose the ideal or even the good as your subject. It's that you have to choose a subject that is appropriate to your theme. And so that is selectivity in regard to the subject, is picking a subject that is appropriate to conveying whatever theme, whatever view of life you're trying to convey. The second principle of aesthetic value is clarity. And here it basically means intelligibility. Ambiguity is often celebrated, but as Leonard says, the purpose of art is not to revel in life's ambiguity, but to eliminate it. And this is the deepest reason why objectivism regards non-objective art as anti-art. So as Leonard says, it is to art what the arbitrary is to cognition. Like, paint splatters can be fine if your goal is like decoration or just like playing with your kids, but they cannot convey a view of reality. They cannot concretize a metaphysics because they don't concretize. As Ayn Rand formulates it, that what non-objective art does is try to reduce man's consciousness to the perceptual level by breaking up percepts into mere sensations. And so, in a sense, it's conveying a view of reality in the sense that, as Leonard puts it, it's not the attempt to recreate but annihilate reality. The third principle is integration, which Ayn Rand calls the hallmark of art. In great art, every element from the selection of the subject down to the smallest detail of style, is integrated with the whole, is expressive of the theme. And Leonard says, this is the only way to achieve the kind of whole which is art, i.e. a slanted concrete embodying, objectifying, flaunting a definite sense of life. Now, as Leonard points out, this is far from an exhaustive list of aesthetic merit. It's far from everything that goes into judging, to reaching an aesthetic judgment, but it indicates what it means to take the artist's theme and use it to judge the means. So such aesthetic value, Leonard concludes, is objective in the strict sense. He says, as in ethics, so in aesthetics, value is an aspect of reality in relation to man. Value means the evaluation of a fact, in this case of a certain kind of human product, in accordance with rational principles, principles reducible to sense perception. This is precisely the pattern one follows in aesthetic evaluation. One reduces aesthetic principles to the nature of art, and art to a need of human life, i.e. to the primary of ethics, which in turn reduces to one's acceptance of the axiom of existence. Like goodness, therefore, beauty is not in the object or in the eye of the beholder. It is objective. It is in the object as judged by a rational beholder. Ultimately, he adds, though, you can't stop with aesthetic judgment. Art requires aesthetic and philosophic judgment. That's what it means to judge the art as a total. But the point is that these are two distinct kind of judgments. And ultimately, what you want to find is the most effective presentation of a true metaphysics, a true view of life. So I don't have too much to add in the way of explanation for this section, but I do want to draw or expand on the parallel that that Leonard does that illuminates objectivity and brings out what's being said about the objectivity aesthetic value. So if you think about our discussions of religious or conventional altruist morality, they give us rules or duties. You must do X. Why? There's no answer except some authority said so. Well, I mean, that is classicism in art. It's why can't a character be killed on a stage? The authorities say so. Why does everything have to happen in one day? Well, the authorities say so. Now, you could just reject the authorities, but then it seems that the only alternative is subjectivism. Do whatever you feel like. Whatever you feel like is art. Art is whatever people call art. It's a complete rejection of standards, a complete rejection of bringing reason into the field. So how does objectivism avoid both authoritarianism and subjectivism in ethics, in art, across the board? And in a word, it is objectivity. But what does that mean? It's you're defining a rational standard based on your purpose and then seeking out causal principles for what's required to meet that standard. And the question can be, well, wait, doesn't that just push back the subjectivism down? Isn't your purpose subjective? And I think this is where Ayn Rand's approach is so unique and so powerful. She thinks that embracing a purpose always involves choice, but that there are grounds for distinguishing between those things that can serve as a legitimate purpose and those that can't. So take the objectivity of knowledge. You don't have to have as your purpose pursuing knowledge of reality, but there's no other kind of knowledge to pursue. Existence exists and only existence exists. And so it's only in the context of trying to understand reality that a need for a method arises, a method that reflects both facts about existence and facts about consciousness. And so epistemology gives you guidance on how to use your mind to achieve knowledge given those facts. Or take objectivity in ethics. You don't have to pursue life. You don't have to pursue life-sustaining values, but there's no other values to pursue. Values are objects that promote life. And so it's only in the context of trying to live that the need for a moral code arises. And again, it's a code that reflects both facts about existence, about what's actually good for human life, and facts about consciousness, in particular, the choice to live. And so ethics gives you guidance on how to live. And now we connect this to objectivity in art. It's that you don't have to create or consume works that embody philosophic abstractions, but that's what art does. That's what it is. You can do a lousy job, let's say, as an artist, or you can even rebel against it, creating anti-art of one sort or another. But insofar as your goal is to create art, you can only do so by seeking to objectify a view of life. And so aesthetics gives you guidance on how to convey your chosen theme, and then as a consumer on how to judge art by its chosen theme. So, I mean, this is why objectivism is called objectivism. It's at every level, Rand's perspective is a method for establishing the right relationship between existence and a volitional consciousness. And we do so by adopting reality-based purposes, defining rational standards for achieving them, and then causally evaluating the means. So that is it for this episode. That is it for this series. I really hope you enjoyed it. I certainly learned a lot from it. Send me an email at don@donswriting. Tell me what you liked, what you didn't like, what you wish there was more of, what other things you would be interested in me doing in the future, any questions that I can answer. And I will do everything in my power to continue to help you learn and promote objectivism. Be sure to like the YouTube channel and go to donswriting.com and sign up for the newsletter. Talk eventually.